Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today is April the 15th, 2020, and you are at our Spiritual Laws of Nature program with Dr. Alex Lloyd. My name is Johanna Chan. I'll be assisting Alex today, where he will be sharing one of his Spiritual Laws of Nature. Today is going to be the number 3 question. What is the greatest lie? Or are you believing the biggest lie? He's going to answer any questions or comments you have after his broadcast of that particular Spiritual Law of Nature this week, which I hope you've all listened to on YouTube. Before we hear from Alex, I wanted to share this short disclaimer. This presentation is for education and informational purposes only. And since we're going to be talking about issues of health and well-being, we wanted to make sure that you understand this information is not intended to heal or cure anything. Everything in the presentation are the opinions of Dr. Alex Lloyd or myself, Johanna Chan, or possibly you, as you might share or ask a question. You should always check with a licensed health care provider about any specific health concerns you may have. We also like to share this quote, and we used to share this every week for many, many years. And this is a quote by Dr. Oz. He says, "We are beginning now to understand things that we know in our hearts are true but could never measure. As we get a better understanding how little we know about the body, we begin to realize the next big frontier in medicine is energy medicine. It's not the mechanistic parts of the joints moving. It's not the chemistry of our body. It's understanding for the first time how energy influences how we feel." And that was a quote he shared back in November 2007. Okay, so having shared all that, I want to bring Alex out. Alex, hello.
Hello, Johanna. How are you this week?
I'm doing great, thank you.
You surviving the quarantine?
We are. Learning lots.
Cool. Yeah, we are too. Strange times. Thank you, Johanna. Welcome, everyone. Wherever you are in the world, and whether you're listening to this live or by recording, we welcome you. This is the Spiritual Laws of Nature discussion hour. You'll also have an opportunity to get a custom trilogy later in the program to heal the source of just about anything in your life. But the main thing right now is what I call the Spiritual Laws of Nature, these things that work just like gravity. And just as you wouldn't go to the top of a building and jump off trying to violate the laws of gravity, you can't live your life violating the spiritual laws of nature either and get away with it. Now, it may not be as quick as gravity, but it is just as sure. So if you want to have your happiest, best life, you have to live in harmony with the spiritual laws of nature and the physical laws of nature, like gravity, inertia, etc. So that's what this is all about. And right now we are in the middle of what I call the 5 questions. I think originally I called it the 5 big questions, and they are big. And this week we're talking about the greatest lie in the history of humanity. In fact, this lie, the great majority of people end up believing that it's true. And that is what is so terrible about the greatest lie, is that if you do that, if you believe this and incorporate it into your life, it will slowly kill your health, kill your emotions, kill your most important relationships, kill your health and happiness. And the paradoxical, ironic thing is that people do it for the opposite. People do it thinking that by doing this, I'm going to be ensuring happiness, health, success. This is the way you do it. This is the way you succeed. In my experience over about 30 years, 9 out of 10 people believe this is the key to life, and it is currently destroying their lives. All right, so what is the greatest lie in the history of the universe? It's the lie that self-interest is the key to life, that self-interest is the right path in order to be healthy, happy, have the best life that you can. I have a dear friend. We stay in each other's homes, talk on the phone fairly frequently, who is a big-time author. And I mean that. I'm a New York Times selling author, and that's pretty good. But this gal is a number one New York Times selling author, had the number one book on the New York Times, and not once, but twice, which is extremely rare, especially in nonfiction, but she did. So she is world-renowned, household name in a lot of areas, and what she taught as far as the secret to health and happiness is self-interest. That self-interest is the key. If you just run everything in your life through, okay, taking this job or this job, which would be in my best self-interest? And let me look at it that way. Who I marry or have as my significant other, which would be in my best self-interest? How I spend time with my family and relationships, exercise, everything. If you just run it through the funnel of self-interest, that's the best you can do, and over time will lead to success. Well, according to industry insiders in that field, there is an approximate 97% failure rate with the self-interest path. You heard that right, 97%. It just almost never works. In fact, it's really a blueprint for failure more than it is for success. It would be, you'd be hard put to find a better way to ensure your own failure. All right, let me explain it a little bit. The friend of mine who is the New York Times number one bestseller author twice, she called me one time and said, Alex, the first thing I need to ask is this conversation be completely confidential, that you would never mention my name anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances, you know, to which I said, oh, of course, I agree, of course. This is, I will never mention your name about anything related to this. And she said, the second thing is, can you please help me? She said, Alex, I know it's wrong and I know it's crazy, but I'm one of the most famous people in the world for teaching how to be healthy and happy, and behind the scenes, everything in my life is falling apart. I'm about to go bankrupt. I feel bad all the time. I feel like the biggest hypocrite and fake there has ever been in the whole world, because I walk out on stage after stage acting happy and positive and putting on a smile and teaching people my principles that will lead you to the kind of happiness and success I have. And then I walk off stage, and as soon as people can't see me anymore, my head goes down and I'm back to feeling horrible and miserable about myself and my life. She said, I know that what you teach is very different from what I teach, and I just wanted to ask, would you be willing to talk with me and see if you could help me some? And I said, sure, of course. And then I started talking to her about the difference in what she taught, self-interest is the key, to virtually the opposite of that, giving up self-interest, and the key being real love in the present moment, regardless of the circumstances, forever and ever, no turning back, no safety net, that's it. In fact, sometimes I call it love A and love B, or real love and fake love. And I ask her, this lady friend of mine, author, do you have people that you love in your life and that you feel love you? And she said, yeah, of course I do. Well, how are you doing in those relationships? And I said, is that more important to you, those people you love, than the work that you do or how many books you sell or whatever. Yes, of course it is. Well, are you living that way? And are those important relationships to you, are those your number one priority? Or would the way you're living say that money is your top priority? And there was this long, long pause. And so anyway, over the course of probably 4, 5, 6 weeks, I worked with her sometimes several hours at a time to get a plan, to talk through the issues, and she committed with me on the phone to the path of real love in the present moment and giving up self-interest, even if it means more pain to her or less pleasure or not getting the end results that she wants in her life. And she committed to that. And she called me about 6 months later and told me how everything in her life had done a 360 and all the things that were going bad were now going great. But she said, now I've got the biggest dilemma of my life. I said, what? And by the way, I've had this same story happen multiple times with people out there. So, but anyway, back to her. She said, the greatest dilemma of my life. Well, what is it? Well, now what I am known for teaching and make all of my income for teaching, I believe is wrong. What do I do? Well, I told her, like I've told everyone in that situation, you're the only one that can make that decision. But I prayed for her a lot as soon as we hung up the phone. And I'm sorry to say that the decision she made was to try to live in her personal life offstage the way I taught her, but write books and live on stage and keep teaching the principles of self-interest. And it has ended horribly. We're 2 or 3 years later from that, and everything her life has totally, totally crashed. Not sliding into the ditch. It's already there, crashed. Okay. So the biggest lie is self-interest. Why is that? Well, first of all, because your brain doesn't work that way. It's in disharmony with the way your physiology works. You're wired for love and to work perfectly on love and the love hormones and chemicals. If you start focusing on fear, which comes from self-interest, then you have the negative chemicals, negative signals, negative thoughts, negative feelings, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Okay? I had an atheist ask me one time, can you do both? Can you live in real love, but still from a place of self-interest, saying, I believe it's in my self-interest to live in real love? Now, that makes sense, right? But it won't work because your unconscious knows. You can't fool your unconscious. It's a million times more powerful than you are. And your unconscious knows whether you have fully committed forever, no matter what happens, to real love or not. And if you haven't, your unconscious will not release the safety features. They will continue to have you operating in fear, because it's the safest path to keeping you physically alive. When you choose real love forever, no matter what, you've won. So even if you die, it's okay. I mean, you're not wanting to die, but you won. The whole purpose of life is to choose real love. You've done it. Then your unconscious releases the safety features of fear, and you have positive thoughts, positive feelings, positive hormones and chemicals, feel like you were 25 again. So self-interest can never give up completely, because self-interest always has to hold months, or if that's not working in 10 years, or if that's not working in 20 years, then I'm coming back and trying something else, because self-interest means what's working. I'm going to do, I'm going to figure out, I'm going to live what's working, okay? Well, how does your mind and body interpret what's working? Pleasure is good, pain is bad. So if you try to do both self-interest and real love, the self-interest reels you back in once you hit too much pain at some point. Because self-interest cannot give up completely and forever, no matter what happens, the end result of pain or pleasure. So the greatest lie in history is that self-interest is the key. It's actually the opposite of that. And self-interest is what will destroy your life. Real love, committed to forever, no matter what, from the bottom of your heart, from the marrow of your bone, we'll talk about next week, is part of the greatest truth in the history of the universe. But this week, analyze, are you living more by self-interest or by selfless, unselfish, no matter whether I get the results I want most or not, love? And my guess is for the majority of you, it will be self-interest, which means you're believing the lie and it's having a detrimental effect on your life. All right? Well, we're going to try to help you set that straight. And next week, when we talk about the greatest truth, that'll be a big part of that. So please join us next week, and let's go to discussion time.
Okay, so if you have a comment or a question for Alex, you can raise your hand by pressing star 2 on your phone. Star 2 on your phone is going to raise your hand. I'll be able to unmute your line so you can interact with Alex. So let's see, our first hand is coming up. It's 5870. I think I know who this is.
Yes, good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi. I've listened to the video on this, and I know I have a head understanding of it. It's getting into that practical, and my question sort of is, is it sort of a certain amount of self-interest that you choose to walk down this path towards committing yourself because your life is in a state of negativity and stress? And so
right.
The self-interest is to feel better. So
yes, I would say that is more self-love. Okay, and remember,
okay.
Love puts others equal or even above themselves and does not stop until the scenario is win-win-win. And if anyone has to lose, I choose me. Okay, so yes, it can be in love to go toward living a life of love, because that's what you know is right, best, consistent with your conscience, consistent with the things that you would say are most valuable in your life, which are almost always other people. The problem is we don't tend to live that way. We tend to live like money is most important or entertainment is most important or something else. And if there's an emergency, sure, yeah, I'm right there for you immediately. But, you know, day in, day out, what I'm really thinking and doing the great majority of the time is more self-interest-based than love-based. Self-interest-based is the way that's different from love is self-interest says, okay, well, this looks like the best plan to win my life for me, as opposed to this seems to be the right plan. C- considering other people, my conscience, what is best for everyone, what's best for humanity, whatever. Self-interest tends to focus on me, 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 me. And love is everyone in relationship, win, win, win. And love means also, even if there's more pain and less pleasure, where self-interest, if there's too much pain and too much taking away of the pleasure, then self-interest says we need a different way to go. This one's not working. Love assumes and knows that that's part of it and stays the course.
Okay. Yeah, because I sort of feel I was beating myself up because I felt that I was coming from a place of self-interest to choose that path because I was looking for...
And see that answer. If you are coming from a place of love, you wouldn't beat yourself up.
Okay.
You would be kind and gracious and loving and forgiving toward yourself. So that's a big clue right there. All right?
Okay.
If you are living in love, that rarely happens where you start beating yourself up. Now, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. You may start that way. You know, it's almost like, oh, this is the way I used to go home. And, oh, no, wait a minute. They've got that new road in. I don't go that way anymore. Okay? So, yeah, starting down the wrong place or a little disappointment. But if it goes to beating yourself up and guilt and shame and stuff like that, that only happens on the self-interest fear path. That doesn't really happen on the love path.
Okay.
So that's an indicator of where you are, which is not bad. There's no bad place. I mean, all of us are just starting where we woke up this morning. And then we'll end wherever we win tonight, but it's not a race. I don't compare myself to Johanna. She doesn't compare herself to me. We're all just doing the best we can now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no fretting over, oh, but I wasted all those years, or, oh, I'm, you know. No, it's now is the issue.
Okay. Okay, thank you. This is only if we have time. Later is fine. My other question is, you say that you believe love is spiritual. If there is time after other people, if you could just expand on that, I would appreciate it.
Sure. Well, I believe forgiveness and unforgiveness is spiritual. I believe joy and depression are spiritual. I believe anxiety and peace are spiritual, okay? I believe all those things are spiritual. What is physical is just more like a computer would describe. Okay, that's a pencil. It's 95% wood with a little bit of metal, a little bit of eraser. That's what it is. All right. But that doesn't explain what's inside. All right. It doesn't explain that you're going to use that to write an incredible book that people treasure forever. The important thing about love is always what's inside. And you can't see that. Now, you can see evidences of it in micro expressions of the face and eyes, the light in someone's eyes, things like that. But bad people do good things all the time, and good people do bad things all the time. So that's why judging is for God and small children. So my job is just to sort of relax in that cushy chair of love and go wherever it takes me. Now, I think I've drifted from your question. What was your question again?
What is spiritual love?
Yeah. What's physical is atoms, molecules, the conscious mind. What's spiritual, to me at least, is when I ran across years ago Solomon's statement, guard your heart above everything else, for from it flows all the issues of life. And I said, okay, what in the world is the Bible calling the heart? And it matched up perfectly with what psychology called the unconscious, subconscious, ancestral, you know, that sort of thing. So I believe the conscious mind is basically non-spiritual. It's left brain, word-oriented. Right brain is where the spiritual happens. Right brain, the amygdala, brainstem, hippocampus, that sort of thing, okay? Love that is not spiritual is, I love you as long as you act within our business deal agreement. And that's the analogy of me and Hope when she kicked me out of the house. Spiritual love, I also call that fake love or self-interest. Real love, spiritual love, is I love you forever, no matter what, whether I get pain or pleasure from our relationship, no matter what you ever do or say, I love you forever, no matter what. That's spiritual love. But there is a non-spiritual that's the self-interest base, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you.
It's not really love at all. It's I like this and want more of the pleasurable things and less of the painful things.
Okay. Yep. That I can. Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. Johanna.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marilyn. Love you.
Okay. So, if anyone else has a question for Alex or would like to share, please raise your hand by pressing *2. *2 on your phone is going to raise your hand. And I'm going to check to see if we have anybody on the web. Okay, so at this point, Alex, we don't have any other hands raised.
Okay, well, let's switch to custom coding time, and I will slide away.
Okay, we love you, Alex.
Love you, everybody. Have a great week.
Okay, so we're going to open the line now for you. If you want a custom trilogy or a custom healing code, you can raise your hand by pressing *2. *2 on your phone is going to raise your hand, and I'll be able to unmute your line. Okay, so let me unmute this first caller. Your number ends in 4070, and who am I speaking with?
Yes, my name is David.
David?
David.
David, okay, David.
Yes.
And what would you like to address today?
I have a question to Alex.
Oh, Alex is, I'm so sorry. Alex has just left the call, so.
This is, I have a question to him. This is my connection.
Well, I guess you could go ahead and share the question, but he's no longer on the line to answer you directly, David. I'm so sorry. He just left. I had asked if anyone had any questions, and you were a little late in responding. But
I try push star. You tell push star, yeah, for question.
*2, yeah.
No, *2.
Yeah.
I push only star.
Okay. if you want to go ahead and ask your question, and then I will send it to Alex. And he can answer it tomorrow.
Okay.
So what is your question?
Okay. My question is, I purchased sanitizer from your website that he recommend. I have two questions. Number one, is it true or not? Is there any lab test that shows that this liquid can kill coronavirus? And second question, for how long it can be active without losing quality. I talk about sanitizer he recommend.
Okay, so your question is about the sanitizer you purchased, and you want to know if it can kill the coronavirus 19,
If there is any lab test that show that this liquid, some proof, official proof for they can kill coronavirus, it's one question. And second question, how long this is sanitizer active for use, for losing, without losing quality? How long I can use this? Because I buy 2 gallon, it's too big size. And how long it's good quality? 1 week, so 1 month, so how long it's possible I can use?
Okay, very good. So, David, I will ask Alex that question, but and he can answer. We can get you an answer.
How you can give me answer by email?
Email. If you could type your question in and send it to feedback@thehealingcodes.com. Okay, feedback@thehealingcodes.com. Go ahead and ask your question. And I'm going to give, I'll notify them that you're going to ask that question. And then they will get back to you on that, okay?
So what email address? Healing code?
Feedback. That's feedback. F-E-E-D. Yeah, feedback.
Okay.
At thehealingcodes.com.
Uh-huh. Healing back. Feedback. Healing,
feedback.
Healingcode.com.
Yes.
Feedback. F-E-E-D-B-A-C-K.
Yes.
Okay. I have to send this question and to him. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Okay. God bless you. Okay. Our next caller, your hand is up. And your phone number ends in 5870. 5870, your hand is up.
Yeah. Hello, Joanna again. Yes. What has come up for me this week is feelings of rejection from my family. And it brought up other memories. But it goes all the way back to when my mother told me, I think I was a teenager, that she never wanted me. She already had 2 children. They couldn't really afford any more. She had a son, she had a daughter. And the whole time she carried me, she didn't want me. And it wasn't until she was going to the hospital to have me that she decided, well, she had to accept that she was having this baby. And so it's brought up that and all a lot of memories of feeling rejected.
Okay.
But I also feel that I'm rejecting myself. If my mother couldn't love me, you know, how can I be lovable?
Okay. Okay, God bless you, Marilyn. We're going to address this now, and we want to heal anything that may have been passed on to you during, you know, your time in your mother's womb. That's and anything afterwards, and the subsequent feelings and emotions and beliefs that you had growing up. We're going to address all of that right now. On a scale from 1 to 10, when you think about the earliest memory, how strong is that?
It's a 10.
Okay. Okay, well, it's coming up now to heal, so we're going to go ahead and give it all the love we can.
Thank you.
Okay,
and I can do the trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah,
can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
The rejection issues.
A rejection issue.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to start with minute number 1, and we're going to go ahead and do tap from the eyebrows down to the side of the hand without stopping, just all those points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then custom, we're going to go to the little finger.
Yes.
Index finger.
Yes.
Under the nose.
Yes.
Under the arm.
Okay.
Collarbones.
Mm-hmm.
Sore spots.
Yes.
Side of the eyes.
Okay.
Under the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 9G.
Okay.
Okay, healing code. First position, left hand temple, right hand jaw.
Yeah.
Second position, both hands below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Third position, left hand jaw, right hand temple.
Yes.
Fourth position, both hands high bridge.
Yeah.
And the last position is both hands Adam's apple.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three. We're going to slide all the way up and over three times without stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Then go to the solar plexus.
Yep.
You're going to hold it there and pause for a few seconds. Slide up to the throat.
Yep.
Slide up to the crown.
Yep.
Slide all the way down to below the belly button.
Mm-hmm.
Slide up to the heart.
Yep.
And then slide all the way up and over.
Okay.
And that's
it. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You are so welcome. God bless you, Marilyn.
Thank you, Johanna. Thank you for doing this.
Okay. Okay, our next caller, your line is open, and it is 1799 is your phone.
Hi, Johanna.
Hi,
can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Sheen.
Hi, Sheen.
Hi. So I'm calling. I've been working on this core issue in my life, which is a fear of failure. And there are a series of memories from when I was an infant to fifth grade to high school, college, on. And I feel like I've made some progress, and then a lot of the memories don't actually have a lot of negative, intense emotions when I think about them. But one of them that I've been working on for months, and it doesn't seem like I've made a progress on it. It's a particular relationship that happened when I was in college, and I feel very far removed from it in the normal day. But if I sit there and think about the past experience and memories, and that one, I always feel stuck on it. But one progress I made through all the trilogies that I've done, I realized that one day I finally realized why I had a hard time with this relationship, even though not much happened. It was the core of it, I realized, is still a fear of failure, because it was a relationship I decided not to move forward with. I was afraid I would be too tempted by this relationship, then I can't go on with the plan I had for my life at the time. And so the core of it, I feel like it's still a fear of failure, but for some reason, I can't move on from that pain. It just still feels so painful if I give it enough time that I just mm-hmm. think about it. So
okay.
I don't know if that's the one. Should I just focus on general, you know, just the fear of failure to continue to grow in, and that will take care of itself? Or should I put some energy into healing this memory?
I would definitely put some attention on the memory.
Okay.
And meaning it's going to address a lot of other things as well. It's going to address everything.
Okay.
But if this particular memory is surfacing, it's like a wound that's trying to get your attention more specifically. So you want to pay attention to that. You want to just drench it in the trilogy with light and love.
Okay.
And really trust. Just be open for this wound that's still hurting that this will be brought into that healing field you're going to create with the trilogy and completely transformed.
Okay.
You might want to do the relationship issue finder, and that may give you a few more clues on other areas that maybe this is also connected to that's keeping it stuck. That
okay.
could give that's a great diagnostic. But let's go ahead and get a trilogy for you.
Okay.
Can you say for me, I desire to be healthy?
I desire to be healthy.
I am ready to test truthfully.
I am ready to test truthfully.
This fear of failure.
This fear of failure.
Okay. And you want a trilogy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so the first minute, we're going to do the tapping from the eyebrows all the way to the side of the hand.
Okay.
Then you're going to go to the middle of the chest or the thymus.
Okay.
Sore spots.
Okay.
Thumb. Index finger.
Okay.
Side of the hand. Okay, then up to the face. Eyebrows. Under the eyes. Chin. And then the 9G. Okay, minute number two, healing code. First position, left hand brainstem, right hand high bridge.
Okay.
Then you're going to reverse that, left hand high bridge, right hand brainstem.
Okay.
Then both hands Adam's apple. And then both hands below the belly.
Both hands what?
Both hands below the belly button.
Below.
That's a healing codes two position.
Okay.
Okay, minute number three. You're going to start at the base. You're going to slide up two times without stopping.
Okay.
Then come back to the heart.
Meaning all the way to the back of the neck.
Yes, all the way up to the top of the spine, over the head.
Okay.
To the top of the spine. Okay, then
okay.
we're going to start at the heart. Place
okay.
both hands on the heart. Slide down to the solar plexus or the tummy. Then slide up to the throat. Slide back to the heart.
Okay.
Slide down to below the belly button.
Okay.
Slide down to the base.
Okay.
And then slowly start sliding up. Pausing briefly at each energy center or chakra, all the way over to the top of the spine.
Okay.
And that's it.
Great.
And I would highly recommend that you do the relationship issue finder. That'll give you a few more clues to where some of the core issues that are making you feel stuck, where those are coming from.
So how do I incorporate that? Say I realize which I know humility and patience are my struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do I incorporate that into the trilogy?
What
like,
you would do
practice
is, okay,
on that category.
So, yes. and ask yourself, okay, what do I recognize from this particular neighborhood or category of memories in my heart that may be connected to this fear of failure? What relationship issues are there in the humility category? So maybe there is some place where you were comparing yourself to others, maybe even comparing yourself to yourself. Okay? In the patience category, is there memories or programming there that create any feelings of anger, frustration, you know, connected to this fear of failure? Have there been relationship issues in your past, in your present, or fear of the future? So that would be more, you know, more exploration and discovery for you. If you focus on those lower scored areas and just ask God to really open your heart up to really recognize what could be there, be very open. So allow those thoughts and memories to come in. Now, you don't have to take a lot of time. If you meant to recognize it, it will show up in just a few seconds. So this is not about going into the neighborhood and banging down all the doors and trying to pull out skeletons in the closet. It's really be gentle, but be very trusting and open that if you're meant to recognize what it is and to, you know, embrace it personally like that and specifically, it will come to your mind. If you're not meant to know that, it's okay. It's going to happen anyway. We don't always have to discover the specifics and the nitty-gritties. We just need to be open to allow ourselves to heal there.
Okay. And so I don't have to think about this particular memory, this relationship all throughout, but just keep it open.
Well, I would use it kind of as a target, but not to think about it so much, just to recognize. You can go back and check on it to see how it's healing.
Okay.
You know, because it is one that's standing out. So, in other words, it's like you have a whole classroom of memories, and, you know, you recognize them all, but there's this one that just keeps raising his hand and telling you, look, you know, I need a little more help. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. That doesn't mean you have to give it a space to feel all the negatives, but just acknowledge that, okay, I see you. You're still needing help, and here it is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so when I'm doing the trilogy, I don't have to keep thinking about
feeling
the pain there. Okay.
No, you just acknowledge it before you do the trilogy. And then you just go into your love picture. While you're doing the trilogy, go into a love picture. Go into happy thoughts, thoughts that make you feel connected to love and to peace. That's what you want to be doing while you're doing the trilogy.
Okay. What about the healing code part? I saw the healing code one, those positions are for love memories, images. But healing code two, those positions were supposed to connect with pain and
yes and no. I mean, the combination of the two is what is most powerful. So don't necessarily think about, okay, it's connecting to pain. It is, but the combination of the two is so powerful. So you just, don't worry about what position is addressing what in the specific memory. All our memories have so many aspects, physical and non-physical. So combining healing codes 1 and 2 is the most powerful way to deliver that positive healing energy to every part of our being, mind, body, and spirit. So that's why Trilogy is very powerful, because it's addressing that mind, body, spirit all at once too. So don't be too analytical about worrying about the positions.
Maybe
that
I did
they're
that.
Addressing.
Maybe
okay?
I did too much of that.
Yeah.
Okay, so focus on more of the positives. Not be too analytical. Okay, this position is addressing this. That's kind of what I've been doing.
It's not you, all you're doing, you're giving your body permission to receive this energy to do and send and deal with it however it knows best. And it's better. It knows better than we do consciously.
Okay.
So you're just allowing it. So you're not trying to manipulate it. You're not trying to send it to certain areas. No, you just let it happen.
Okay. And then if anything, my intention is to be to meditate on loving and kind of images and feeling.
Yes, those kind of feelings. And if that's difficult at any time, just focus on breathing nice and deep, you know, into your diaphragm.
Okay.
And that's going to be healthy for you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, God bless you, Shane. Bye-bye.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
All right. So that's going to be it for today as far as our questions, our custom codes go. We want to invite you to come back next week. We love hearing back from you, so send us anything you'd like at feedback@thehealingcodes.com. And God bless you all. Bye-bye.